It's brilliant to see you. Now, all week, we've been here at Christchurch remembering and celebrating the truths of the very first Easter. Jesus died and Jesus rose. In other words, what seemed really sad news became really, really good news. A really big celebration. Now, that is a huge claim, though, isn't it? A huge promise. Jesus died and Jesus rose. Big claims need big evidence, don't they? So if I said to you that until recently I was one of Arsenal's top strikers, you don't like football, do you? You don't care. You could believe me. I'd love it if you did. But it's a big claim, and it's going to need some evidence probably to back it up, so I won't do any keepy-uppies to prove quite quickly that I am not Arsenal's top striker. I never have been, never will be. But what we can do is when we come to the Bible, and I'm going to invite Leo to come and read, is we can hear, listening in to those who were there the very first Easter, making these incredible claims, and wrote them down so we could read about them too. The Jesus they saw die with their own eyes, they saw afterwards rise. And wonderfully, they want us really sure this morning that Jesus is alive, so God's forgiveness is possible, and that is brilliant news. So if you're going to follow along in the reading, you'll want to turn up your Bible. There should be a slide with a page number if you've got a pew Bible. Is it one? Yeah, there we go, 1062. And is Leo here? I didn't get a chance to catch up. Brilliant. Brilliant. Leo, perfect timing. Did you get the memo? Do you think you're reading? No. So you look after the family. Why don't I read? I think that'd be a little bit easier, guys. Poor old Leo. Good to see you. Sorry, I probably just forgot to notify. Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read from verses 36. So guys, all you need to do is just listen in really closely. We're going to listen to what Luke said, and I'm going to read these verses from 36. So Jesus, right, remember, he's died, and they saw him die. And here we are 3 days later. And while they were still talking about all this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." Great. If you're following, do keep the Bible in your laps open. Guys, you listen brilliantly, okay? So we just heard Luke say that his friends saw Jesus. He is alive, which means God's forgiveness is possible. So let's just picture the scene. Can we all listen to what I'm saying? Picture the scene. They're walking along. Jesus' friends are walking. Anyone here walk to school? Okay, fine. Anyone here walk to the car to get the car to school? Great. So you're busy chatting to mum or dad, that's it. Talking about your day. And they're walking along. Jesus isn't with them. They saw him die on the cross. They saw him buried in a tomb. And 3 days later, we're told he's there right in front of them. He's alive. But we need to be very clear this morning. Jesus, in this Bible story, is not a fairy tale at all. We're not told this, so we think, do you know what, it was really sad, but they all lived happily ever after. No, instead, we're told they were startled and frightened. Anyone here ever been frightened? Something shocks you, surprises you, we get a bit frightened. Hey, fellas, hey, can we use these just for the moment? And not this, is that right? Brilliant, I'll call on you for your help in a minute. But they were frightened. Who wouldn't be frightened? They'd seen him at his funeral, and now he's alive. But now Jesus does four things. How many? Four things. I tell you, I thought chocolate for breakfast would have you a bit zippier than this. How many things?
Four
things to show them he's alive. I'd love a volunteer. Anyone willing to be a volunteer? Oh, there's a hand straight up there. Would you happy to be a volunteer? No, sorry. Okay, hand went down. Are you happy to help? Can you come up here? Brilliant. Up you come. Round of applause for our volunteer. Thank you. Brilliant. Let me ask you a quick question first. How's your reading? Brilliant. Good, good. We'll find out in a moment. That's fantastic. Now, are you happy to tell it? Let me put the handheld mic on here. You hold that like that. Now, lovely to have you here this morning. What's your name?
Naomi,
fantastic. Is the microphone working, the handheld? If not, we'll be fine. Great. Okay, now, Naomi, you're going to help me, okay? We're going to do the test. How many tests?
Four
tests that we heard in the Bible, and Naomi's going to help us, okay, work all these out. We're going to see if the four tests that Jesus used work for you, okay? Now, really important question. Naomi, are you alive?
Yeah.
Whoa, that's that might be what you say. You're saying you're alive. That might be your truth. This could be some extraordinary hologram from the projector or something. How do I know? We've got how many tests?
Four
tests. The first test is, listen, Jesus spoke with his friends. They heard his voice. They knew it was him. Okay? Verse 36, he says, peace be with you. They heard him. They saw him. Now, Naomi, can you speak?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, good. We can hear you. Can you read this? Good. I keep going down there. This is extraordinary. Keep going. I think go there.
If Peter Piper picked a pepper, pickled pepper, where the
fantastic, Naomi. Wow. Obviously, everybody heard you speak. You spoke so well, and it was a tricky thing to say. Now, have you got any grown-ups here? Who's brought you along this morning? Can you point to anyone? Who, mum's dad's? Brilliant dad. Can I just, is that her voice? Is it familiar to you? Because we're not great. This is all, you're all passing the test here. This is a good start. Okay, so we've listened. Test one. Test number two. What happens? Look in your Bibles if you've got one. Verse 39. Jesus spoke to them, just like Naomi did. Then he said, look at my hands and my feet. Now, is that just to show them, you think, that he has got two hands and two feet? Why might he have shown them his hands and his feet? Yes. Exactly. He died on a cross 3 days before. He was showing them, I can show you the marks. No one else would have them where the nails went in. So, let's just be really clear. In case our eyes deceive us, we've heard Naomi speak. Can we all see her? Yes. Okay, just checking. I wasn't sort of a disembodied voice there. You could be, though, an incredible illusionist. Maybe you're sort of projecting this, as we said, on the screen. But we are going to take your word for it, that because we can see you and we can hear you, just like they did with Jesus, that you really are Naomi. Okay, listen test, look test, now the touch test. Jesus said he was heard and seen, and then he said, touch me and see. In other words, I'm not a ghost, which they were worried about. It's really me, I'm really here. Okay, now I'm a bit nervous about this one, Naomi. Can you do a high five? Yeah, if my hand goes straight through, I'm going to run out the door, okay? On three. One, two, three. Oh, that's a good high five. Round of applause for Naomi. Tell you what, we've heard Naomi, we've seen Naomi. I've just touched her with a high five. It is starting to look like you said you're alive. I'm winnable here. I'm convincible, Naomi. Now, Jesus was before their eyes too, though. But they couldn't believe their eyes. They were so surprised and so shocked and so excited. And so one final test Jesus gave them, or used to show them, there in verse 41. He said, how about giving me some fish, and ate it in front of them. Do you like broad fish? I could do a here's one I prepared earlier, and I meant to grab a biscuit, but I'm going to take it. Do you love, what's your favourite food?
Sushi.
Well, not far off. Brilliant. So I'm sure you love eating sushi, and just like they saw Jesus eating, we can be absolutely sure that whilst I am not actually a doctor, nor an Arsenal striker, Naomi passed the listen, the look, the touch, and the taste test. She is alive. And you're all witnesses, just as they were for Jesus at the time. So I think round of applause for Naomi. She goes back to her seat. Well done. So it's why Luke writes. He doesn't simply say, happy ever after the end. He shows us what Jesus showed them. And as Ilho said at the start, more than 500 people were witnesses to these things. It's really important. But just to be clear, in verse 43 of our readings, if you're following along, Jesus says, this is what I told you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and Psalms. In other words, he says, my coming back from the dead wasn't a magic trick to surprise you. It was a kept promise to save you. It wasn't a ta-da, but a I told you so, just as I told you. And the same Jesus they heard and saw and touched and ate with in person then is the same Jesus we see and hear as he walks off the pages of his words, the Bible, today. Jesus is alive. But secondly and briefly, that means wonderfully God's forgiveness is possible. Now, guys, who remembers when they took Jesus off the cross, where did they put him? Someone
else.
In the tomb. Well done, young man. Exactly that. But when they went to the tomb, was he still there?
No.
But then he appeared to them afterwards. And the cross and that empty tomb, they promise that even though we've all done wrong things against God, all of us, and the Bible calls it sin, because of his love for us, Jesus was punished in our place. He's like an incredible swap. An amazing swap. He went and took the punishment so we don't have to. So when we say sorry, God simply says, oh, I forgive you. Because Jesus died for you. See, Jesus is alive, which wonderfully means God's forgiveness is possible, which is why Easter is such brilliant news. We're going to sing again. I'm going to invite the band up to come. We're going to sing a song, Guys, Stay Where You Are. It's a particularly a favourite one for younger listeners, and then I'll send you back after the song and have a little chat with your grown-ups, if that's all right. So everyone on their feet, and I think probably watch Bex for the actions rather than me, because mine could go anywhere. You listen brilliantly. I'm just going to ask you to listen for a few more moments, particularly as I talk to parents. Just to be really clear, we want to make it accessible for children. Of course we do. Luke didn't just write for kindergartens. In fact, if you read chapter 1, he makes it really clear as a doctor. He writes for the grown-ups at the time so they can be absolutely certain of the astonishing claims they're hearing about. Because they are astonishing. They don't happen every day. In fact, they've never happened since. And so just to think about a little bit more, Jesus being alive, and so forgiveness from God is possible. And thirdly, that changes everything. Just to be really clear, the disciples that first Easter, if you read the accounts, they were a real mix of thoughts and feelings. I don't know how you are this morning. You'll have the way you've arrived to church today. I'll have how I've arrived. We'll all be a mixed bag of joys and sorrows, of certainties and doubts. And as I say, Luke writes up this eyewitness account, carefully asking those who saw it to remind and reassure us that we are right to believe. It's true that our sin was punished that Good Friday, and so the death sin brings was defeated that Easter Sunday. He is Lord. He does reign. He will return. And so the claims Jesus said the number of times, just as I told you, the wonderful promise is he is alive, and that means God's forgiveness is available through him, and only through him. And so just briefly, firstly, if you are someone struggling and doubtful, be reassured, your feelings and my feelings don't undo the facts of who Jesus is and what he's already done. He meant it when he said, as his friend John records in his gospel, on the cross, last three words, it is finished. Sin dealt with. And so secondly, that means this message is really good news. The bad news of his death became the good news of his life. And that's why if you look down in verse 47, he's really clear, it's got to be preached to all nations. If everyone everywhere is sinful, then everyone everywhere needs the same Savior. He calls all people as the king who defeats death to repent, which means turn from their sin to him as Savior. It's such an invitation. And looking around, we wonderfully here at Christchurch, being in London, have this lovely little sort of foretaste, don't we, of that sort of kingdom promise. As we look around, there are all sorts of cultures and creeds and colours and backgrounds. And it's wonderful. All sorts of those of us who have seen we're sinful, no matter where we were raised, and we've turned to our Saviour. But Jesus still says to us today, as he said to them then, this is the news that's got to go to all the nations. And they're not all represented here. I wonder who the king of the world has put in your life, your family, your classrooms, your offices, to share this good news with. There'll be people you don't know who I will never meet. And Jesus says, tell them about me. Because I am alive, and only through me, wonderfully, God's forgiveness is possible. And thirdly, finally, that changes everything. If he didn't die and rise, well, certainly if he didn't rise to affirm it, well, then we may well thinking, have we just bought into a lifestyle, a philosophy, or just a fairy tale? But he did. And so God's forgiveness is possible. And it does change everything. You might know the Guardian columnist John Harris. And he wrote these words when he reflected on the COVID pandemic at the time. So they're a few years old, but he wrote these words in reflection. He said, like millions of other people of no faith, I have not even the flimsiest of narratives to project onto what has happened, nor any real vocabulary with which to talk about the profundities of life and death. At least he's honest. But here is a man who's paid to put pen to paper and even puts the word profundities in just to remind us of that. And he's honest enough to say, do you know what? I look as a middle-aged man with more credentials and training to write columns and inches all the time, to be paid to do it, and I've got no words to say. Not even a flimsy narrative to make sense of life and death. Maybe you're here this morning and you can admit the same. And if that's you and you're willing, I've scattered around the church this little leaflet, The Reason for Easter. Please do take one and have a read, if you, or perhaps just take it and give to a friend. And just explains a bit more of these claims, slowing it down a little bit. And in many ways, you would be doing me a favour, as an aside. My friend actually wrote it. He wrote it last year, and I forgot to give it out. So I promised him this year that we would, but it is excellent, and it is worth a read. It gives us the reason for Easter, because Jesus is alive, which means God's forgiveness is possible, which changes everything. If you, again, read it, you'd like to discuss it a bit more, we would love to do that. Because what's really clear, and these eyewitnesses, nearly all of whom died to maintain the truth, they're very clear it was no flimsy narrative, but the events firmly rooted in factual history. And it's the only narrative that satisfies sinners because it saves. Because it makes it so clear that Jesus did die, but he rose. Which means only Jesus can offer forgiveness from God, which is wonderful news. that really does change everything. Thanks so much for listening. I'm going to ask Yuri to come and lead us in our prayers. Jesus opens up relationship with God, and we can express that by praying to him. So, Yuri, thank you.